Welcome one and all to the last episode of the Damage Report before these holidays. I'm John Iadarola, very lucky to be joined today, not on a Friday, but it's serving as our Friday. Bret Ehrlich, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here, John. You got my name right. You said it right. I'm just so happy that you know my name. You're like the bar cheers.
Did I not say your name right?
You're
giving me vibes. Oh.
You said it right.
I feel very weird right now. Anyway, you're Bret. Bret, it's good to have you here. I'm excited to see your garbage person because I want to make very clear to the audience that we are going to be throwing away our garbage people of the week. I've got a potentially particularly egregious garbage person today. And I don't know yet who the audience has voted for, but I'm very excited to see it. In addition to that, Bret, we've got Volodymyr Zelensky's address to Congress, as well as all of the perfectly rational reactions coming from across the political spectrum. More news coming from Donald Trump's taxes. We've got transcripts of testimony before the January 6th committee. That is some interesting stuff. And a whole bunch more. We've got animal news coming up. Rand Paul has released a Christmas single. So there's a lot of fun coming up. Bret, are you as excited as I am?
I am so excited. I can barely hold in all this enthusiasm that is seeping out of every pore of my body. That's not just because the heat's on and I'm schwitzing.
It might be related though. Anyway, if you're as excited as we are, please show up by hitting the like button and sharing the stream. And you can send us comments, tweets, and super chats, not only to have your words read live on stream, but also because we will once again be choosing one member to receive a Blue Apron gift card. We had a lot of fun with that yesterday. Looking forward to seeing who we're gonna choose today. So all that coming up and more. With that said though, Bret, are you ready to start this show?
Let's do it, John.
Let's do it. Let's do it, in fact, okay? Let's start with this.
Against all odds and doom and gloom scenarios, Ukraine didn't fall. Ukraine is alive and kicking.
That is President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine, who made a sort of surprise visit to meet with President Biden and then made this address to Congress. And I wanted to play that clip especially because it should serve as a reminder that while I think a lot of people are used to the new status quo of the conflict, that it is that it's brutal and prolonged and seems to have entered into a devastating stalemate with a lot of attrition, especially amongst civilians. He's reminding us there that many people, myself included, assumed that that conflict would be over in 72 hours, maybe a week. That's what we thought. And that isn't actually how it went. And there's a lot of things that I think that should be credited for that. Obviously, the resilience of Ukraine's defenders, Zelensky himself as their leader, and the support that they've received from countries around the world, including from the United States. But yeah, it could have been over very soon. And so the trip was to both thank the US for its support, but also far more significantly to ask for more of that support. And by the way, Congress is approving basically, I think, $48 billion in additional aid, including, as I spoke about with Anna Kasparian on the Young Turks yesterday, for the first time ever, the Patriot missile defense system. But there are other weapons that Zelensky had requested, long range missiles, things like that, that could strike inside of Russia that Joe Biden has not approved, that they will not be funding. I want to give you just a little bit more of what Zelensky said during the press conference he held with President Biden. Take a look at this.
I wish you peace. I think that is the main thing. And you understand it only when the war in your country, when somebody like these terrorists from Russia come to your houses. And I wish you to see your children alive and adult.
And he goes on in that vein, obviously. And I played that clip to remind you that while obviously there's a lot of money on the line, and I'm sure there are people on both sides of whether we should support Ukraine in this particular way that don't fundamentally give a damn about the loss of life that's on the line. Some want the money because they like the businesses it's going to. Some are opposed to it because they seem to despise Ukraine for some reason that I'll never understand. The human cost is the cost that's most important to me, and it has already been absolutely devastating. That continues. We're entering into a winter that was going to be difficult anyway. Russia has spent months now trying to destroy the energy infrastructure to ensure that as many Ukrainian civilians as possible die simply from the harsh winter. So we have more quotes from him we're going to talk about, including the right-wing reaction. But Brett, what do you make of what we've shown?
I mean, you're going to get into it later, but essentially the move of a lot of people who are in search of power, namely politicians and political operatives, as well as television news personalities, they try so hard to get you to forget the main thing about any given issue. And the main thing about the war in Ukraine is that Russia invaded another country and just tried to kill everybody.
Yep.
And it's speeches like this that you watch everybody try so hard to get you to overlook the main thing about it, the 98% of the conversation about it. That's how much it should take up, is at the thing. And the reason they want you to ignore it is because it's the thing that most people in their right minds would understand is the main thing about it. And that's that Russia invaded Ukraine and has tried to kill pretty much everybody in it. And so in these speeches, they'll try to distract you in a bunch of different ways. But this reminds you, no, this guy is running a country that was invaded by Vladimir Putin's Russia. Don't forget it.
Yeah, I am glad that you focused on that. It's 100% true. I would add the corollary to that most important point that they invaded and tried to occupy and wipe out and kill everyone there is that they could leave anytime they want. Yeah. They could go today. That would be the best case scenario, but tomorrow is also an option. That's almost as good. They could go literally anytime they want and would only benefit from that. Maybe Vladimir Putin, in terms of like ephemeral stuff, reputation, like stuff like that, he individually might be hurt by that. I'm at a loss for what the Russian like civilians would lose by simply getting the hell out of there. You would stop losing so many incredibly expensive vehicles, the loss of lives of, and by the way, Russian soldiers. But when I talk about civilian loss of life, I include the vast majority of the Russian soldiers at this point too, because I guess they've been soldiers for a week or two. I guess they were sort of trained for a day. They're bakers and they're like they're regular people too, needlessly dying. The war could end at any point. By the way, and Zelensky focused on that, saying Russia could stop its aggression, but you can speed up our victory. Yeah, they could literally just leave. And I feel like a lot of people, especially on the right, pretend that that's not the case. And look, Zelensky also talks about that this is about saving Ukraine, but it's also about standing up for democracy and things like that. And I agree with that too. I think the precedent cannot be set that a country can simply invade and occupy another country. I felt like that for decades when it came to our invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq. I feel kind of the need to be consistent in standing against it when it's Russia invading Ukraine. Anyway, not everyone agrees with that, as will become very clear. But anyway, I did like the comments from Zelensky, although not everyone agreed. Any other thoughts before we move on to the right-wing reaction, Brett?
I love the right-wing reaction because it gives us a chance to talk about all the other important issues that they're trying to get you to forget.
Okay, well, why don't we launch into that, starting with this first clip of Tucker Carlson.
As far as we know, no one's ever addressed the United States Congress in a sweatshirt before, but they love him much more than they love you.
So that's Tucker Carlson attacking Zelensky in the, I guess, the favored way on the right is to attack his clothing. Because he's not fancy enough, as if he were to come in a fancy suit, they wouldn't attack him for being fancy while his people are dying. Also, I wanted to play the particular clip to remind you that his show is awful in a lot of ways in terms of the dishonesty, the white supremacy and all that, but it's also deeply weird. They love him more than they love you. That is a deeply weird way to communicate to a news audience. Can we all agree that, Brett?
Yeah, it is severe divorced dad vibes trying to turn the kids against the mom.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. He's like, listen, I love you. What's so stupid is like they always complain, they're complaining about all the money that's going to Ukraine, but every time we do spend money the way they want us to spend money in those claims, like money on the people of America, the right wing pundits get mad at that too.
Yeah, they don't
like
that.
They're always like, oh, what, this wealth, you know, there's calling Zelensky a welfare queen, being like, well, they would buy, you know, the Congress should buy you presents too. Well, anytime that the Congress buys presents, which I would argue is like the fundamental job of the government to make sure that there is like a baseline of non-suffering in their nation, they're like, oh, I can't believe that they're buying you presents. They're just giving it away. And that's because they just, Tucker Carlson's main job and main skill is to otherize key people in a way that keeps the his target audience oblivious to the fact that what he's advocating for is not good for them either.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that the only argument they seem to come up with that they think might be effective to stop the foreign aid is we should be spending it here instead. But like they definitely don't believe that. So can we raise the wages? Could we get paid leave? Could we get literally anything? Student debt cancellation, you want to spend on dealing with climate crisis? No, you don't want to spend on any of that stuff. But they love him more than they love you.
And I love you.
I'm a news anchor.
Tucker unbuttons his shirt and pulls out a nipple and says, suckle. I don't suckle like, whites.
This,
suckle.
I don't like any of this, and this is the part that I like least. Anyway, here's more of Tucker Carlson.
Somehow we were reminded of it today when the president of Ukraine arrived at the White House dressed like the manager of a strip club and started to demand money. Amazingly, no one threw him out. Instead, they did whatever he wanted. Zelensky is demanding regime change in Russia, just like in Iraq, in Libya, and a long list of other failed states, except this time in the heart of the Eurasian landmass, next door to the entire civilized world. That's what Zelensky has called for repeatedly, and every dollar we send to him goes toward that end. At this point, he's getting a lot closer to achieving it. So what happens if he, quote, wins? What does the ensuing chaos look like? Thought about that? Who's going to secure the world's largest nuclear arsenal once we help Zelensky topple the Russian government? Who replaces Putin? Strangely, those topics did not come up today because that wasn't the point.
Thank you for landing on that. No, none of any of that is the point. What are you talking about, you madman? There's a couple of things that we have to correct there. First of all, again, the focus on the clothing, super weird, incredibly weird that you think that would be an effective thing.
I have to step in right there. Like that is racist. That's racist against white people. For as much as Tucker Carlson complains against being racist against white people, if you're making fun of an Eastern European dude in a sweatsuit, you are making fun of 9/10 of all Eastern European dudes because that is essentially the highest form of respect and their uniform. Yeah. Like if you go to, someone's gonna wear a dish dash and cutter. Someone's gonna wear a full sweatsuit when you go to freaking Ukraine and Russia.
100%. And also, Tucker Carlson is populist. He hates the elites, but also if you don't dress as fancy as him, you're trash and no one should listen to you. Weird. Anyway, so Zelensky went there and they gave him everything he wants, except no, not at all. They didn't give him nearly as much money. He would want far more money. He would want direct transfer of US jets. He would want long range missiles. He would want many things that he is literally asking for and being denied. So 100% untrue. And while Zelensky, I'm sure, has said that Putin should be toppled, the idea that that's what every dollar we give goes towards that goal. Oh, and also he's close to it. I must have missed the news of Ukrainian forces streaming across the border and besieging Moscow. But if you're a viewer of Tucker Carlson, you believe that Ukraine is the upper hand and they're about to defeat Russia. All of it is madness. All of it is lies. We can disagree about the funding, how much it is, where it goes, whether we should be involved, what the timeline and how diplomacy should be done. What we can't have a debate about is bald-faced lies about literally every part of this conflict.
Yeah, and the rhetorical approach I have to statements like that is like, well, I'm glad you feel that way, Tucker, because you've identified what we disagree on and it's just the facts. Like, I'm glad you think that my position is how you're presenting it because it's just not. And now is the part where I tell you, I actually don't want to go in and topple any countries. I think if you ask what's happening after, it goes back to Ukraine being Ukraine and Russia being Russia, if you must know. So I'm glad that's your problem with it. But really, this is just a calculus of caring. That's most of politics and political discourse. It's a calculus of how much you actually care about Ukraine and how much you actually care about taxes and how much you actually care about America's standing in the world. And Tucker Carlson, for better or for worse, his calculus is you probably don't care that much. All you do really care about when you watch a news program or go to vote is feeling a little smarter than most people. And that is kind of a definition of contrarianism, but that really is the bread and butter of most of discourse on the right is, oh, everybody's saying this, but you're smarter than that, which translates to that first clip you played, which is they don't love you as much as they love him.
Yeah. Yeah, people need to be more on the watch for the stroking of the ego from the face that's yapping at them out of the camera. Like he will say that this is a secret knowledge that nobody else knows. You understand it. No, I don't do that. I don't lie to the audience and say that they're super intelligent. I call them dumb donkeys on a literal constant basis. And they weirdly like it. Anyway, okay, why don't we move ahead to some of the other commentary? We can jump right into Charlie Kirk.
And as I mentioned, the uppity foreigner, the international welfare queen that can't be bothered to put on a suit and tie. I don't know. Let me just make sure I get this right. Is Zelensky wearing a suit and tie today? I don't know. He's probably wearing the Fetterman look.
Okay, so again, it is weird to focus so much on what a president in the middle of a war wears during a speech. It's slightly weirder to talk about the lack of formality when you're hosting a political analysis show and you're wearing a short-sleeved polo shirt. He didn't even seem to understand that maybe he should have dressed up to deliver that attack. The weird racial framing about uppity foreigners and welfare queens is bizarre. If you're gonna do any of this, by the way, you might want to at least check to see if he's done that. And then to say, well, he's probably doing the Fetterman. That's not how he dresses. Those are two totally different ways of dressing that you guys mock. My issue with Charlie Kirk isn't that he's uninformed or that he's doing these weird racial dog whistles. It's that his show is terrible. He's really, really bad at something that is not that hard, honestly. That is unwatchable at this point. Why does anyone tune into him rather than any of the other second-rate clones of Ben Shapiro at this point?
Like what? Talk about, well, you know, the term welfare queen is a Reaganism that is essentially meant to vilify people that you have no idea what their life is like, and you just assume that people that, you know, need that take assistance from the government are living the life of a king or queen. It is an insane, debunked multiple times. The word uppity, as you say, is like really about slaves who mouth off.
It's terrible.
He's invoking. And the reason that he is able to so confidently do that, he's admitting exactly who his audience is. And most ironically, the reason he's been able to cultivate that audience while being a proven failure at the message, if you look at whether he's been able to accomplish the goal, is because of huge handouts he's gotten.
Yeah. Yep.
He has been given, guys, millions and millions of dollars year after year after year to put together what? Hard work? Is he working in a factory? Can he pull off the Fetterman look and wear a hoodie and some shorts in Pennsylvania in February? No. He is by his hearth getting warmed by the benefactors who have so generously made his life that of someone on the dole who has never had to encounter a single bit of negativity face to face in his life. Ironically, he's also making fun of other people's appearances when he himself looks like a hot air balloon with a face with a drawn on it with a marker.
Like hot air balloon's like not necessarily known for constantly having the cold meat sweats, but I like your metaphor other than that. Also, by the way, can we reevaluate like the level of respect that should be put on different outfits when we bear in mind that Zelensky in a t-shirt has been successfully fighting off the Russian military? You know who wears suits? Putin. Putin wears suits. Is it helping him to take over Ukraine? Fetterman wore the hoodie. He won, by the way. You know who wears suits? Dr. Oz wears suits. Did that help him to become a senator? maybe the clothing isn't the most important thing in the world.
I just want to say the reason that Tucker Carlson is so mad at Vladimir Zelensky is they both were on versions of Dancing with the Stars. Zelensky won and Tucker was eliminated in some of the first rounds. That is strictly personal. And let's talk about what they were wearing. Tucker Carlson, we have B-roll on this network. I'm not sure we pull it every time because we don't expect it. But the truth is he wore like a flouncy Spanish dancer dress of a shirt on TV and then has the gall along with Charlie Kirk to talk about what a real man is. Sorry, giggle pants, you're not one.
100%. I want to give you just a few of the other bits of commentary. So Rand, I don't want to get back into Tucker Carlson, but Tucker Carlson accused Volodymyr Zelensky of waging a war against Christianity. Why not? Just as a treat.
Because he's a Jew. Line.
Okay.
He's I guess. A Jew in entertainment.
Jesse Waters has admitted that Zelensky is charming, but he's a killer. Well, he's in the middle of a war, out for vengeance against Russia. First of all, if he was out for vengeance, I would sort of get it. I don't think we're at the getting vengeance step just yet. I think he just wants his country back. Then maybe he goes too far and it's vengeance. I don't know.
At least Zelensky has a reason for his positions. I still have yet to figure out why Jesse Waters is the way he is at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, high school experience would be my guess. Donald Trump Jr. apparently gets his talking points from Charlie Kirk, says Zelensky is basically an ungrateful international welfare queen. Donald Trump Jr., every literal cent that he has been given to him by his papa. And we've recently revealed, as we're going to go into in our next block, that they don't pay taxes. So like, honestly, if you're going to talk about anybody like taking handouts, literally Trump gets millions of dollars in tax rebates from the US government. Anyway, but competing to possibly have the worst take on all of this is Representative Marjorie Greene, who says the American taxpayers are literally paying to prop up many countries all over the world in foreign aid, but America is virtually crumbling before our eyes. It's like the American people are raped every day at the hands of their own elected leaders.
She's taking divorce well.
She's just, why isn't this beneath us?
No, John,
I'm not saying we have to be great, but could this be like some class, literally any class? Anyway, again, they cannot just tell you what is happening, give you the facts and let you decide. They have to constantly terrify you in all different ways. So did you know that you're being raped on a daily basis by the US government? You are. Also, we're being invaded, again, constant violent metaphors that have no bearing on reality. Our economy has been destroyed, even though they literally just scaled up the estimation of the Q3 GDP by like another 0.3%, and it's way above what they expect. Okay, devaluing our dollar, killing our energy, again, killing, destroying our critical supplies, enslaving us in debt. So you've been raped, invaded, killed, and enslaved, harming our children. Again, I don't know what that has to do with the foreign aid, but it always has to come back to the QAnon stuff, and castrating our independence. So you've been raped and beaten and invaded and killed, but also enslaved, and they cut off your junk. Are you scared enough yet to like allow Ukraine to be conquered? What other words do I have to use to let you be okay with Putin killing literally every person in Ukraine?
50 Shades of Green over here. Like, she should write the next 50 Shades book because it is super hot the way she's talking about all this BDSM stuff. She just like, it's like, it is so pathological. Like, you sound like a really delightful person. And then they go off and say like, Kamala Harris needs to smile more.
100%.
You just said you're cutting off people's manhood and your people are getting raped. Like, listen, madam, like those things you said are really, really bad. And you are trying to harness that, but in doing so, you're absolutely belittling those actual experiences. And like the fact that she writes these things and thinks she's totally killing it and then is like, send. Yep. So pathetic.
100%. Okay, but we're gonna take our first break of the show. When we come back, we've been teasing a couple of these stories involving the congressional testimony finally being revealed from the January 6th committee, as well as some more revelations coming out of Donald Trump's taxes. We're gonna see who's been living off the government. All that and more after this. We're going to get serious here, everybody. Let's jump into this next topic. The January 6th Select Committee has released the transcripts of 34 different bits of witness testimony. And I believe that in there, there are some things that we can learn. Although you do have to give it to the witnesses that were brought in. They tried as hard as they could to hide everything about what actually happened in the lead up to that. So we've got transcripts from people like John Eastman, the lawyer that is going to be investigated potentially, Alex Jones, Enrico Tarrio of the Proud Boys, as well as Jeffrey Clark, that was Trump's acting assistant attorney general. Now, there's an issue with these transcripts that you'll immediately notice. It's that the majority of the transcripts were just people invoking the Fifth Amendment. And like you're probably wondering, well, for what? No, I just mean invoking it for everything, literally everywhere. Comically so, Charlie Kirk, for instance, pleaded the fifth while being asked if he understood what pleading the fifth was, which sort of actually proves that he does. So I think that he made a bit of a mistake there. But he also refused to answer basic questions about a lot of things. I'm actually more interested in like the one time he would answer a question. So they asked how old he was, and he said, on advice of counsel, I'm invoking my Fifth Amendment right not to testify. I think that's less about culpability for January 6th. And more about the fact that he's still hanging around college students on a daily basis, and it's getting increasingly weird, both as he gets older and as his hairline goes back. Anyway, they asked him, in what state do you reside? He answered that one. He said, I live in currently Scottsdale, Arizona. Then they asked him about his highest level education, and he wouldn't answer that. I too think that that isn't just the normal fifth. I think he's actually hiding some stuff there. Maybe Ken Klippenstein will look into it. But I gotta respect the love for Scottsdale. He pleaded the fifth to every other thing, but he did want to acknowledge where he was from, and I almost respect that. Anyway, there are some things that we actually did learn when a few of the witnesses deigned to answer a question or two. Former Trump campaign manager Bill Stepien testified that he took an intentional, informal self-demotion after Trump brought Rudy Giuliani on the legal team to help spread the election fraud claims. He told the committee about an episode in which he locked Giuliani out of his office, saying, it was a big glass office in our headquarters, and I had my assistant lock my door. I told her, don't let anyone in. Tell me what's going on here, but you know, you're gonna see less of me. Sure enough, Mayor Giuliani tried to get in my office and ordered her to unlock the door, and she didn't do that, you know? It's good to have a good assistant or whatever. So there are some people who are trying to distance themselves from the election fraud claims that were made. Giuliani, by the way, told the select committee, I do not think the machines stole the election. Seems like news. He certainly acted as if he believed some sort of massive. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't think it was stolen. He could think that mules stole it or something. But a lot of this, unfortunately, they refused to answer. Brett, what do you make of this so far?
I mean, I love, the only thing that I really care about is that Charlie Kirk won't say how old he is, because he was technically born 29 years ago, according to Wikipedia. However, the Ayn Rand book jacket they used as the base organic material in the laboratory, the right wing benefactors fabricated him in, that was at least 90 years old. So there's a little, he didn't want to put in paper in the congressional record exactly how old he is. And we all know he didn't go to college. I don't have anything against people who didn't go to college, but if someone's telling you you shouldn't go to college without having any experience of what that might be like, and especially if they are able to have everything given to them as opposed to have to go out in the world and seek it, then obviously he doesn't want people to know that he didn't go to college. I think a lot of this is just absolutely hilarious. I'm not going to begrudge anyone for pleading the fifth in a proceeding they think is absolutely BS, but I would say that I don't think anything about the proceeding and having them go there was BS at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also think that, look, if I had bussed tons of people to that rally and I was facing claims that I had helped in inspiring this riot, I'd probably want to cooperate. Because he says he doesn't, and there isn't, like, other than the busing, there isn't a lot of like direct evidence that he was like looking to have Mike Pence killed. So why not participate? It seems weirdly hostile. Anyway,
it's you're probably wondering, too. Well, okay, doesn't it make you feel kind of stupid when you're like, listen, what do I have to do here, Charlie? I know that if anyone else pled the fifth, you would be completely in bad faith saying that, well, they're obviously if they hadn't pled the fifth, they'd have to admit their guilt.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna give him more credit than he would give literally anyone else.
100%. Now, all of you are probably thinking, okay, this is all fun, but what about like serious stuff? Well, there is a little bit of serious stuff. So Trump told the GOP leaders of the Michigan state legislature to, quote, have some backbone and do the right thing during a meeting in November at the White House. That is Lee Chatfield, then state house speaker. Do the right thing. And by that, he means literally just do whatever will benefit me. It doesn't matter if it breaks the law, breaks your ethics, your obligation, your constituents. Give me the electoral votes of Michigan. So that's an important revelation. Also, this is fascinating. Because remember, we keep being told that despite all the evidence that we saw with our own eyes, January 6th was not a riot. It certainly was not an insurrection. After all, nobody had any weapons. Except that Secret Service documents show that hundreds of weapons were confiscated from spectators who passed through metal detectors at the Ellipse rally that preceded the insurrection. They included 242 canisters of pepper spray, 269 knives or blades, 18 brass knuckles. I didn't know there still were 18 brass knuckles.
That's just how douchey they are.
That's super douchey. 18 tasers, 6 pieces of body armor, 3 gas masks, 30 batons or blunt instruments, also 17 miscellaneous items, including scissors, needles, or screwdrivers. I'm sure plenty of people had legitimate reasons to bring scissors to that rally, let alone the hundreds of knives that were brought.
And an expanded assault rifle cartridge in a cherry tree.
You got to do that song, actually. But again, Tucker Carlson will never acknowledge a single bit of this. Why people brought hundreds and hundreds of weapons to just let it be known that they believe that there's issues with the election. No, they were looking to beat and possibly kill people. You don't bring a blade just for the fun of it. Anyway, with that, why don't we move? You know what? We got to move on. We got to move on to the C block. Sean Hannity also admitted, or he said that he didn't ever believe the election denial stuff, even though he actually spread it quite a bit. He's trying to protect his ass, but whatever. We're moving on to the C block, okay? You want to let me know when we're good to go on that? Okay, that was very fast. Thank you. Okay, more information is being revealed on a nearly daily basis about Donald Trump now that his taxes have not yet been fully made public, but bits are beginning to be leaked. For instance, he reportedly paid little or nothing in federal income taxes between 2015 and 2020. Importantly, despite claiming millions of dollars in earnings. So here is what he actually paid. So there are a few years in which he paid a little bit. You might get nearly $1 million in 2018, for instance, okay? $750 in 2016, that's probably comparable to what you and I paid, right? 2020, remember, he was president, he paid $0. Now, for someone who reportedly is a billionaire, who pulls in many, many millions of dollars in income a year, any single year there is damning that that's all that he paid. But it gets worse the more you learn. Documents released Tuesday night show that he frequently made tens of millions of dollars during that exact period. That's on a yearly basis, but he was able to whittle away his tax bill by claiming steep business losses that offset that income. For instance, in 2015, Trump reported making more than $50 million through a combination of capital gains, interest, dividends, and other earnings, but that was offset by more than $85 million in reported losses, which I'm sure are totally legit and were not artificially inflated to get rid of his tax burden. He was actually hit by the alternative minimum tax that year. That's why he paid over $600,000 in taxes. If not for that, he would have paid zero that year and in many of these other years. The following year, he reported making $30 million, but what do you know? Bad business year, $60 million in losses. So he didn't need to pay any income tax. Well, $750 to be fair, he did pay. In 2020, by the way, they reported a negative income of $4.7 million. $0 of taxable income, a net tax liability of $0. That year, they claimed a tax refund of $5.47 million. Do you know how many speeches he gave that year? Do you know how many products he sold that year? Do you know how much money he raised that year? He got money back from the government. Vladimir Zelensky is a welfare queen. I don't want you to forget that. Brett, what do you think?
The problem isn't that you and I don't understand how this can be the case. The problem is that the elites do understand how this can be the case. They know how to structure their affairs in ways that allow them to make all that money and then afterward have the government pay them more. That's the problem, is that you and I, we don't get to know any of that. We will never be able to unlock that code that they all know. You know how they know it? Because those people paid money for the tax code to be written in their favor. That's what's, and I do want to talk about what the alternative minimum tax is. The alternative minimum tax is when the government looks at you and goes, all right, I play this game a lot. I know that you are able to say like, oh, this lens cap is actually a business expense. And I know it only markets for about $15, but really I had to spend $15 million. The government's like, yeah, that's every day. But this year you did that too much. So you did it, you played too much of a game. Even you couldn't contort yourself down and just pretending you didn't make any money, you lost all that money. So you have to pay at least this much. He played too much. The other thing that a lot of us, the left, I hate to break it to everybody who's watching this program who thinks they can win on an argument that like, oh, that Trump doesn't pay taxes. I don't think you can win on that. It really is most people's inclination that they too don't want to pay taxes, and they want to believe that Trump's system of approaching it is a very smart way to be. He said it. He got a lot of people to like him and see him as a human being when he said, I don't pay taxes. Yeah, that makes me smart. Mm-hmm. That's how most people feel about the tax code. But what I need us all to frame this as is that Trump is also saying in these years that he lost $50 million. He's such a great businessman who, according to his own tax form, lost $50 million. That's what he told the government. So he's either lying about losing $50 million, which makes him a liar, or he's telling the truth, which makes him a horrible, horrible businessman.
That's true. Look, I think there are definitely a lot of people, I would say probably the vast majority of the MAGA base that agrees with you. They dream of being able to get out of their tax burden, so they're fine with Trump. I don't know that I believe in general, though. I mean, when you poll people about whether the taxes on like the top 1% should go up, it's like 60-70% approval. If they want the taxes to go up, they presumably want the taxes to be paid, at least some portion of them, some tiny fraction of them. But anyway, for me, it's important to make clear to people that when you look at the years where he paid taxes, and then you look at 2020 where he got $5.47 million back, there is a case to be made that Donald Trump is a net drain on taxpayers over the last decade. And for a guy who has billions of dollars, it's weird. It's weird that that can be a tenable legal situation.
And I would say he's okay, different. I put this comment in last show and you read it, but like he is different from most quote billionaires. Most quote billionaires run big organizations. They run big companies that have a lot of employees and pay people salaries. And that's why one would argue that the tax code is written to say, okay, I'm not gonna charge you all these taxes because you are paying Social Security for your employees, you are paying Medicare for your employees, you're splitting that with the government, you're buying them insurance, you're doing things we need you to do, so we're not gonna charge you on that. Trump doesn't have any of that. The things that aren't on his tax report are like household employee taxes. So that's like money he's paying his servants.
Yeah.
Like his servants are really the only employees. It's Alan Weisselberg and it's his kids. He is not contributing to the economy. He's licensing his name. He's selling his name and buying property. So he's not really contributing really anything to the economy in a way that would justify any reduced tax liability.
Yeah, there's some fascinating stuff about these massive contractor payments to Ivanka Trump, who is drawing a salary from him at the same time. There is theoretically some stuff in here that in theory could be investigated by the IRS. We'll see if it ever is. Thank you. I'm trying to, Anna's so good at it every time. I'm trying to catch up to her. Anyway, let's get weird for a little bit with this.
I am going after Dade County in the 2022 election. And everyone says, now, why would you go after Dade County? Would you know why, Brandon?
Well, no, I mean, that's Florida. You think, oh, that's a conservative state, Dade County. Oh,
but you know what happened in Dade County in the 2022 election?
Is that the one that's not the one where so many Hispanics flipped and voted for Republican, is it?
Well, this is where Ron DeSantis won Dade County. This a Republican won Dade County.
Okay.
Well, for me, I look at deviations, everybody. That's a deviation.
Because that was historical. Republicans don't win that county.
I don't believe it. Just going to show everybody, just like we always say about Democrats, where they stole their elections, just like they did the one that nice lady in Georgia that got zero votes in her own precinct.
Right.
I want to find out in Dade County what happened there, because it's a deviation from norm, you know?
Yeah.
It's very much a deviation.
Kind of has a point. It is a deviation from the norm. And in particular, having a demographic group flip to support one party rather than the other would by itself lead to an entire documentary from Dinesh D'Souza. Can we be clear about that? Now, Mike Lindell is deranged. Ron DeSantis did not steal the election. And this is obviously very targeted at Ron DeSantis. Mike Lindell wants Trump to be the nominee. He doesn't want Ron DeSantis. That said, the evidence that he's presenting is more compelling than anything he's presented about the 2020 election, Brett.
I would argue it's not. But yes.
It did flip. It's an outlier.
A thing happened. I love it. Chris Rock has a saying that the tiger didn't go crazy, the tiger went tiger. And this is the tiger going tiger on Republican Party.
Brett, I love that so much. Can I give you like someone in real time seeming to realize that?
Sure.
There's a tweet from John Cardillo, who's I believe regular right wing tweeter for years now. Lindell needs to go away. He's being interviewed by a guy he funds on his own network, spewing lunatic conspiracy theories. DeSantis did well in Florida because he did an amazing job in Florida. Lindell's BS is pathetic, and he should stop listening to grifters using him for money. You could have sent that any day in the last couple of years, but you were perfectly happy about it at that point. Tiger was doing the tricks that you liked, and now the tiger has looked at you and there's hunger in its eyes. And so suddenly you've got an issue with everything about what you said has been true of Lindell from the very beginning.
There's Lindell TV three places on the screen at all times. He can say and do whatever he wants, Jad. And Pillow's investigating everybody for Pillow. I would argue that the reason that county flipped is a combination of Fox News being good at what it does and culture war issues trying to get root with a largely Catholic, more socially conservative base. But I would say that like with a lot of the community I would say never say Hispanics when you're talking about voting blocks. It is definitely not a unified block. There are a bunch of countries that you would describe as Hispanic. Have a lot of different histories, specifically as it relates to American interventionism and the Monroe Doctrine. So I wouldn't lump them all together. A lot of people, specifically in Miami, I hate to draw too close a line to it. But yes, and that's not going to stop Mike Lindell, who has that very awesome thing for many dumb people, is thinking that they're wildly brilliant, being like, I'm actually going to do the thing that no one thinks I'm going to do. But at the end of the day, it does make him seem at least principled, even though I agree with that instinct toward cynicism, where he just likes Trump more than he likes DeSantis. And so all these people are trying to find new like caveats for their previous positions or ways that their positions would stay perceived as consistent as they now start tilting at the biggest threat that isn't the toward Trump, which isn't Democrats, but rather someone who's more popular within the Republican Party, DeSantis.
Great points. We're gonna move on. I just want to read one more of like the people like suddenly realizing who he is. So this is coming from Conceptual James, who is a right wing tweeter with a lot of big following, who tweets in response to what you just saw. Everything down to the wording of this makes me think that Mike Lindell is a highly patriotic but extremely vulnerable man being used without his realizing it to discredit real election integrity efforts, which is evil and sad, if correct. Oh, you just realized that he's off his rocker and he doesn't know what he's talking about and he's just making wild accusations. You realize that now.
Yeah. And when your enemy is in the middle of a mistake, do not interrupt him.
Yeah, that's true.
Good job, guys. Keep going.
Good job, guys. Okay. With that said, are we ready for a little bit of fun to close out the first hour? Okay. That's enough about dumb humans. Let's talk about animals. Here's the latest in bear news. Take a look at this.
Oh, you SOB. All the nuggets. All the nuggets are fried. 30 nuggets and a large fry. Poof, just like that. You didn't want the salad, though. Nothing to do with the salad.
So thank you, Wall Street Sliv, for uploading that. So that's a bear who wanted a holiday feast, and I think a bear deserves it at that point, who takes a bag of 30 nuggets and then, like me, leaves the salad, isn't interested. Immediately, a couple thoughts come to mind. One, no bear could have ever imagined the meal that they're about to have. Like, that is the best case scenario for a bear, is a bag of nice, warm Chick-fil-A nuggets. The question I'll send to you, Brett, that was right in front of the door. If a bear was about to take your 30 nuggets, would you quickly open the door, reach through and pull it in? Would you risk it for the nuggets?
Knowing that I have video evidence of what happened, that they would have to quote see to believe, and the fact that we order so much stuff on DoorDash that they're like, yeah, if it messed up, I believe you. I would not. I would be very happy to have the moment. But John, if we go to my single, you're using happy half hour intros quite a bit, which I have obviously given you permission.
You gave me that one.
I gave you that one, but John, why are you not using this intro to a different happy half hour video segment that we used to do? Bears, they're just like us.
I did not remember that one. You guys made, can I look at the folder of your old intros? Because was it Sophie that made that one?
I think it was Sophie. That one's an older one, and Alex, I think, they're made amazing. That one. I don't remember. There's a great history of fantastic folks that contributed.
I love
to these
the
things.
Intros. I love the intros. Well, congrats the bear. You stole Christmas. You stole nuggets, and you're gonna enjoy yourself. Is a little bit of other news. We got big cat news, and the news is you can't have big cats anymore. Sorry. President Biden has signed a bill outlawing private ownership of big cats. And I get it. We're now a couple of years into the Tiger King thing and everything. I still think it's so weird that they're called big cats. Like, that full grown adults and government agencies refer to them as big cats. Whatever, you can't have it. It also bans licensed exhibitors, mainly zoos and sanctuaries, from allowing the public to touch the animals or hold the cubs, probably because in the last 20 years, there have been more than 400 dangerous incidents involving big old kitties. 24 people have died as a result of the big cat. So I think we're done with the Tiger King thing. What do you think?
So what are the rich people gonna do with their obscene wealth now that they can't have the full menagerie they fantasized about as rich children?
I think that since they've now been denied the big cats, they're gonna go full Clifford. It's big dogs,
giant dogs. I know, because like with the primates, you got like the apes. We're apes. Gorillas are apes. Like, there's like this own little subsection. I want to have, like, if you're gonna call them big cats, can we at least call them Thundercats?
I would prefer that. I think that that is better. By the way, that's not the only sort of animal that's being cracked down on in big dog news. Okay, recently, New York has banned pet stores from selling cats, dogs, as well as rabbits. There have been a few states that have done this over the past 5 years or so. I had sort of gotten ahead of myself mentally. I thought it was pretty much banned everywhere at this point. I didn't think that pet stores were able to do that, but no, it's still legal in many places around the country. It's only now being made illegal in New York.
Yeah, it sounds horrible. Maybe they can use them as an outlet for rescues, as a place to do that. But that was everybody's favorite part of going to the mall, was going to see the dogs and cats. But malls are gone, so there really is no excuse for this anymore.
Yeah.
But I know that Petco has a little area for the local rescue, so I like true. That.
I appreciate that. Yeah, use those facilities for that, and maybe get funded by the government, the state government. I don't know. Anyway, that's all the animal news and all the time we have in our first hour. Thank you everyone for watching and listening. There is more show to come, including the throwing away of the garbage people of the week. So don't go anywhere. Brett and I will be back in just a few.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.